It's interesting that God would pull forth this text. I've never spoken on it before. But this text is very powerful. It has a very powerful message for us today. It's Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. I'm reading out of the King James Version. It may differ from what you have. But this is Jesus telling a story about a man who had two sons. And I can relate. I can relate to this story because my sons are like these two boys. And hear then the words of Christ Jesus for us this morning. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. This ends the reading of the Word of God. May God add His blessing to it. Let us pause for prayer of illumination. Gracious Heavenly Father, be upon us with Your Spirit now. May the words in my mouth, the meditations in my heart, the thoughts in my mind be acceptable in Thy sight. And may You indeed receive all the glory. Amen. This story, these two sons, it's a very powerful story for us. Especially when we see what's going on and how it relates to the rest of the verses around in Matthew 21. It's interesting because the parable after it also talks about a vineyard. And the summing up of these parables that he teaches with comes later on in the chapter, which I'm going to refer to you toward the end of the message. And what we find is that God has used these two as an illustration for us. Now, the story goes like this. A man has a vineyard. It doesn't say what kind of work he needs done. He just tells his two sons, go work. The first one refuses and goes later. The second one says he will and does not go. Now, I don't know about you, but in either situation, there's a question of who can you believe? Who do you trust? How do you know who to believe? Because if someone says they won't and then they go, you kind of think, well, that one should be the reliable one. The one that says I will go and does not, you think that one might not be. But you get all these folks that get enthusiastic about the kingdom of God, and they say, I'm all excited about Jesus, and they don't do anything. Then you get some folks to say, well, it's okay, but you find those are the hardest working people for the kingdom of God. And it's hard to tell who's who. But Scripture makes it very clear that it is the last state of your heart, not the beginning state. Not necessarily your unwillingness, but your willingness to listen to the Father. Let me share how I mean this. I work 5 days a week with those who have addiction problems, chemical dependency. And those folks come in the door, and their lives are pretty much rock bottom. And from 42 to 102 days, we work with these men to try and put their lives back together. If you were to see them come in off the street and see their before picture, you'd say, these people are hopeless, and they are. But when they walk out, they have a new sense of life and purpose again. It's what they end up like. You see, God looks at us and says, it's kind of rough, but I can do something with it. It's kind of tough, rough goods here, but I think a little toughen, a little polish, a little repentant here, a little bit of good fruit over here, you're going to start feeling like you belong and everything will be all right. The problem is we get willing, but we don't really believe we're needed. That God doesn't have a place for us in His vineyard. Or maybe God has a place, but someone else can do the job better. One saying that I like to say is, God will not lead you to something He won't bring you through. God is not here to embarrass you. If He calls you to a task, a blessing, He's going to help you with it. He's not going to say, okay, here's a task, I know you can't do it, I'm going to watch you fail and see you give up on my grace. That's not what God's going to do. He's going to help you by His Holy Spirit's empowering in your life to show you that you can do even greater things. Remember what Jesus told His disciples? Greater things than I do, will you do? I bet if someone told you that, you'd laugh. Jesus walked on water. He fed 5,000 and 4,000. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. And you're going to do greater things. Anybody think that's possible for you? No, I think you're going to go, oh, not me. I can't do that. No, I can't do that. But it says that we can. And we say, I'm willing, Lord, for you to try. Show me what you can do through me. Let me try. That's all God wants, is someone willing. Not someone who's enthusiastic but unwilling. As I went through the internal process of coming to be here as your pastor, I had to deal with a lot of different internal, emotional struggles and trials, if you will. I had to think about, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do this? And I kept thinking, Lord, well, if I do this, then this will happen. Lord, so what do you really want? And finally, after much wrestling with God, I felt like Jacob wrestling with God for quite some time. And God said to me in my heart, I want you to let them know that I love them. And that you love them. And that's enough. Love them. Isn't that what we really desire to know, is that our God loves us? And truly cares for us? That He honors us? That He delights in us, that He truly does see the lilies that don't toil or spin, and the sparrow that doesn't sow or plant, and He cares for them. We want to know that that really is for us, don't we? If we know that God's going to be there and back us up, we'll go forward. But if we step out on shaky ground and don't know that God's going to be there to catch us, what have we got? Let me put it to you in the story of these two sons. If you don't believe the vineyard matters, why would you go? If you don't believe that your father's vineyard is worth keeping and caring for, if you weren't a part of that vineyard, why would you go? But the fact of the matter is, and I think this is why the first son repented, is I think he said to himself, he goes, well, you know, I don't want to do that, but you know, I'm a part of that vineyard. And that father of mine knows what I've needed and he's cared for me. And if I don't go, maybe I'm kind of stepping on the blessing. So what I'll do is I'll go after all, because I feel kind of bad that, you know, receive his goodness and not help out and someone else getting the goodness and the blessing. And so he says to himself, I'll go. But he repented first
The second one, of course, says, "Yes, sir, I'll go." He's a yes man. I don't know about you, I don't mind yes people as long as they follow up. He says, "Yes, I'll do it." I have a lot of folks in the rehab center where I work that I give them tasks, and they say, "Okay, I'll do it," and it doesn't get done. When I ask them about it, they'll say, "Well, I got kind of busy. I saw them playing cards, shooting basketball. They got kind of busy." But they have their own agenda, see? And that's what we do. We get caught up in our own agenda, what we want to do, and we say, "I'll do it, but, oh, I forgot, I was kind of busy." But we wanted to. We had good intentions. We thought it would be a nice idea, and we bought into the idea for a little while. I don't know about you, but I've been to a lot of different seminars and things like that for multi-level marketing. And they get you all excited, and you buy in, and then after about 3 days, you go, "Well, that was stupid. Why did I buy into that?" And you don't do anything with it. Anybody ever heard of Avon? Some folks start that, and they stop a month later. My Avon representative lasted a month. I used to buy cologne from Avon until my representative quit. What about all these pyramid schemes? Amway. You know, I have some dear friends who made a lot of money on Amway. Amway doesn't exist anymore. Excel. All these things promise great things, but you got to work at it. I like the benefits, but I don't like the work. That's what the second son said. "I like what you do for me, but I don't want to have to work for it." Apostle Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Sometime or another, we ought to look at that and say, "Boy, I better start working or I'm not allowed to eat." But what we see, though, is the final state of that second son is worse than his beginning, willingness. And Jesus asks them, he says, "Okay, which one did the will of his father?" And they said, "Well, it was the first one that said no first, and then went and did it." And he says, "Okay then, do that." You may not be too willing to receive what God has for you at the beginning, but that's okay. Sometimes God has to soften your heart. I promise you, before I became a Christian, I was not one. And I was a person who was unwilling. But when I saw the blessing that he bestowed upon me, I became a willing servant. I was working with a client not too long ago. Messed up his life bad. Real bad. And he said to me, he said, "Jonathan, I'm hopeless. I got no hope." And I said, "You know, I look at you and you know what I see? I see the right tool for healing." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, if you aren't sick, you can't get healed." I said, "You're a good candidate for the work of God in your life to bring you to restoration and healing. If you weren't sick, you would never know God's healing grace. If you weren't sick, you'd never know what God could do for you to change your life and make you a brand new creation. How can Christ make us a new creature, since he makes all things new and we are a new creation in him, if we don't think we're sick? If we don't think the old creation is bad? Why would I want to become one with Christ if I like myself the way I am without him?" And you know, he looked at me and he said, "So you're saying my sickness is good?" And I said, "No." I said, "It means you're in the right place at the right time for God to heal you." I share with you this, and I want you to argue with it inside your heart and your mind after the message is over. But right now, just receive this because it's true. All sickness is spiritually based. Every last bit of it. You might say, "Well,
For instance, with Chad, that with the tumor, that's not spiritually based. Believe me, if Satan hadn't come into this world in sickness of sin, hadn't come into this world, no one would die. Nothing would cause that, but that's a spiritual infestation in our world that causes us to get sick and die. And a lot of folks, when they finally realize that their addiction is a spiritual problem, find that there's a spiritual solution. In verse 43, in this same chapter, Jesus is summing up the next parable and this one. And it's like Jesus will sometimes string a bunch of parables together and then finally tie them all together at the end. You might take one out of context, like the woman searching the house for the lost coin and celebrating. Well, he has two or three different parables of lostness there, and then he ties them up at the end. And when we're in Luke looking at those, we miss the power of each one if we don't look at them together and how he all wraps them up. And so in verse 43, this is how he wraps this passage up. He says, "I say unto you, to those who said yes, but didn't work, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from even you, and it will be given to a nation." Now we could go into a little study seeing that we are the nation, the new nation, not Israel, but the new nation, the people of God called by His name. The believers in Jesus Christ are the new nation. But this new nation shall receive the kingdom of God, those who belong to Christ Jesus. And it will be given to those in that nation, bringing forth the fruit. Catch that. The fruit thereof. Now folks, I don't know about you, but I used to walk through vineyards a lot when I was a youngster. My dad had a vineyard. Our neighbor up the block had a vineyard. I liked looking at vineyards. It made me very peaceful. You know, what they produce is grapes. Grapes are fruit. And he's telling his two sons, go work in the vineyard and bring forth the fruit from it. Go pick it and bring it to me. Bring it out into the world and feed people. And the first one says, I don't want to do that. But he repents and says, yes. To him gets the ownership of the vineyard. He receives and owns God's kingdom. Sometimes the root of bitterness comes into us. Sometimes we get upset that other people have the blessing that we want. I know a man, most of his life he was a scoundrel, real bad seed, a drinker. He swore all the time. He hurt his kids repeatedly, abused them in atrocious numbers of ways. And he turned 75 years old. And one day, in his 75th year, he was kind of sick in the hospital, and the minister came to him and ministered unto him, and he received the mercies of Jesus Christ, and he was born again. He was converted over to Christianity and was saved. 4 months later, he died. His children, who were so hurt by him, were glad he was gone. At the funeral, the minister said, I thank God for this man because he's one with us in God's kingdom because he gave his heart to Jesus 2 months ago. I was there and he's one with us. And the children got mad. They said, that's not right that he should do that. That God would let this scoundrel of a dad be in heaven when all he did was hurt me. And see, they were upset and bitter about the way they've been treated. They hadn't learned that forgiveness
and love go a long way. I had a part of that funeral service, and I asked the Lord, what do you want me to say? And he said very simply, the man's name was Bob, he said, this is not about Bob. And so I got up there and I said, you know, sometimes we get upset with people the way they treated us, but he's gone. And we carry bitterness if he hurt us. But this is not about Bob anymore. Bob is dead. This is now about how we relate to a God who can receive even a scoundrel who says yes. We sang Victory in Jesus. It says, I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. You see, in our minds, in their minds, what they were saying is, we're not like him. We'll never be like him. But the fact is, once we fail God in one place, we're all the same. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Jesus Christ. There's no one better or worse. There are people who act like a scoundrel, but they're no worse nor better than even the worst sinner or the best sinner, if there can be a best. We're all in the same boat. And until we come to the place where we see, my Heavenly Father wants to bestow it even on me, there's a place where we sing Amazing Grace. And it's very powerful. It's a mission. And it says in Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saves a wretch like me. When we sing that, we raise our hand and wretch. He saved a wretch like me. I'm no better than Bob. I may not have acted like Bob, but I'm no better, because there's only one thing that distinguishes people in this world. It's not how you act. It's not what you say. It's not what you do. There's only two classes of people in this world. Those that belong to Jesus Christ and those that do not. All those that do not are in the same boat. All those that do are in the same position as well. There is no distinction. Scripture even verifies that. There's no distinction between black, white, male, female, slave, nor free, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And when he sets that standard before us, we can say, I feel like that first time. I don't really think I deserve this. I don't think I can be with people like that because I'm not worthy. But it's not based on me. God's grace is not based on you. It's based on the fact that he loves us as a faithful Father who calls us to himself, to his kingdom, and says, this is my blessing for you. When you work the kingdom, you get the fruit thereof. When you come to me, you're a part of my kingdom and you get the blessing. At first it sounds too good to be true, and we say, I can't do that. But then we repent and say, he's not asking because I deserve it. He's asking because he wants me. And he loves me. And if we can hear that message, then we can hear why the first son repented. And we can understand why the second son said, he'll love me even if I don't work. Well, it's not true. Because if you don't belong to the Father, you don't bear his fruit. If you don't bear his fruit, it'll be given to someone who does. That's the message the Lord has put on my heart this morning for us. And I ask that each one of us search our hearts and say, Lord, I may be willing, but am I going to? Am I already to the task? Is my hand the plow, or am I looking back? Are we going to go forward and do what we need to do because the Heavenly Father called us to bear forth this fruit? Or are we going to talk about what we could have done? My prayer is that as we grow together in the direction that Jesus Christ has called us and would be fellow workers in his vineyard. With that said, would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have known and have understood us, and you've given us opportunity for second chances, even third, because you're patient with us. You know, sometimes we fiddle around in our mind and we're not sure, but finally we come to the understanding you really mean what you say. You do love us. You do want us to be one with you. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we ask you then to bless our time in you and ask you to fulfill your word to us, even as we gather now. Heavenly Father, have mercy on us in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the cross that opens the door for this possibility. In the name of Jesus, I do ask this. Amen. Number 153 is the closing hymn. I invite you, where you're at, or if you would like to make use of the prayer altar, if the Lord is speaking to your heart saying, I need to be to the task, if you need to take a step forward, I invite you to do that. If you've never known a God of love who's compassionate, who receives even the worst scoundrel, and you need to know that, I invite you today to say, Lord, I don't know about that anyone's ever loved me like I need to be, but I'll take a chance. If that's you, by all means, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, please respond. Respond by saying, Lord, I receive, and I'll do what you ask. If you want to do that here, if you want to talk it over with me, pray with me, that's fine. Do it where you're at. Just make use of what God is telling you to do. Amen. Number 153 is past me now. Eternal favor. Upon the food and upon our going forth at this time. Please do join us over in the fellowship hall. If you're hungry, if you're not hungry, we'd love to get to know you. I'd love to get to know you. At least get a chance to know your name a little bit better. And you can practice saying mine. If you've been received this benediction and blessing, may God, who has established you in Christ Jesus, continue to build you up and root you and establish you in the faith that you may abound in thanksgiving. And may he also bless our dining together, our food together, our fellowship together, our communion together, that we might indeed see his glory, the glory of the risen Savior Jesus Christ, together. That we would be one in you, O Lord. Bless us as we go. Bless us as we dine for your purposes. Amen. sweet girl, aren't you?
Yeah. What'd you say your name was again? Whitney? Oh, okay. All right, sir. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Happy Father.
Father's
Day, but you're not a father, but you can still enjoy it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the father, right?
Yeah.
Happy Father's Day to you. Hey. Hi.
Good morning,
kid. Good night.
Bill Ballard. I'm just a visitor. This is my wife and that.
We enjoy it.
This is my first time here.
Yeah, we enjoy it. Done a good job.
Where was Sam?
Okay. Well, all right. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. Bless you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you, there, sir. Hoyt? Hoyt. Hoyt.
She said that you couldn't say your last name. But you forgot it in there, but they wouldn't look at it no way.
Okay. Okay.
And so we go 2 Sundays back.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I can put the last name on there.
All right. I can't wait for when we look at it no
way. Hi. Jesse? Dick? Okay.
We're in Virginia. We're here off and on.
Oh, okay. Super.
It's okay.
Well, bless
I found some mom. We need dinner for Father's Day.
Okay, we'll enjoy.
Okay,
and
you
you'll be here
next Sunday.
Yeah, every Sunday. Huh?
Okay.
All right. Bless you, Tim.
Bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
I live in Hearst again. But anyway, enjoy that sermon.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you, ma'am. Bless you.
I was raised up here. I'm here to Florida now. I'm going to make the church of the lady. But I had to come.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. It's nice to meet you. What's your name again?
Mildred Bowles.
Mildred
Bowles. And I was a Noel. I was raised on the highway. First white house on the right. You can see it now. I'll say for the corn.
Oh, well, bless you.
Thank you.
I think you're a blessing with the
Lord.
Here's a little history of my son.
Okay.
So when you said, what to do, he has turned from at least in his mind. I cannot believe that's an old bulletin that I found. I can't believe that in his heart he's there. But I think he could thank you for knowing me.
Amen. Like I said, I work.
Give me a hug.
I work with folks just like him every day.
Yeah, and when you said that, you know, maybe you were sent here, if nothing else in the world, for
money. Amen. And I trust that.
I put his phone number on there and how to get to his house, and if you have a chance to visit or call, why?
I'd be glad to.
Well, I wonder if you know the church.
Father of Whitney?
Yes.
Okay. So she said Chad was her dad.
No girl and no boy.
Okay. The boy.
Like I said, there's 3 churches right here together.
I'll talk to him. I'll probably speak his language.
I tell him that the thing says what he does for a living.
He's got two boys.
We live over near Ellisville Drive. We're in the big old house over there that looks like it's about to fall down, but we're really remodeling. And even Sandy.
Indeed they are. That's why they're both mine.
Will you take care?
All right, thanks.
We're not going to stay for lunch. We're in Calder 5. It's over in Calder County, and she's coming up this afternoon, so.
All right.
I got to get home and help Mother and John.
All right, hope to see you soon.
Take care.
Now, if someone knew that song I sang, they'll know I messed up the first verse. I wasn't worried about it. I just did, and I said, well, I might as well just fix it on the second. I was going to redo the first verse. Thank you. What the Lord had on my heart for us today. Yeah. Good. Need that. And I'd probably be here earlier than most folks.
Okay, we'll
show up so that I can spend more time.
Okay.
Is it here?
I'll be recording about 8 o'clock, somewhere over there, turn the computer on.
Okay.
And the code is just giving us a code number down.
1231.
Okay.
And then just hit, that's all you got to do is punch those, you got to put enter or something.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hit 1, 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then hit the pound thing to set it on.
Pound 2.
Pound 2?
Right.
And I hit the number 2 after that?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't tell me that.
I'm
going to set this stuff in a truck and then I'll come on around.
That'll
be good. I think you can set up.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. It did. Morning, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing better, huh?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord. Yeah.
Go back to 13. Let them take another blue box, the other, on it to the left.
Yeah, you look a lot better than the last time I saw you. You're looking pretty rough, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
I hope that everybody turns out okay.
Amen. And yeah, we're praying that way.
Yeah.
Sure. And I'll let you get parked so you can live.